Case number 15-1251, Gerd Topsnick, Appellant versus Commissioner of Internal Revenue Service. Mr. Magnuson for the appellant, Mrs. Sheehan for the appellee.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
Charles Magnuson. May it please the Court, Charles Magnuson appearing on behalf of the appellant, Gerd Topsnick. The circumstances of this case, I submit, relate to a court ruling that Mr. Topsnick, being a German resident, is undisputed. That the German income tax treaty applies, that the government published instructions to be used by non-resident aliens for determining the applicability of a tax treaty when, in this case, are a German. That the applicable instructions will be found in publication 519. Section 63 of the Internal Revenue Code states that taxable income is meaning gross income minus itemized deductions or minus the standard deduction. Section 61 defines gross income as meaning all income from whatever source derived. Section 871 provides that other than for capital gains, there may be a tax on non-resident alien, but as a consequence, the gross income provisions do not apply to a non-resident alien. In the instant case, Mr. Topsnick, being a non-resident alien, had no taxable income for the years 2004 through 2009, and as a consequence, there is no basis for imposition of penalties in this case. Mr. Topsnick undertook the burden of demonstrating that he was a resident alien during each of the years 2004 through 2009 through a three-pronged approach. Initially, Mr. Topsnick's status as a non-resident alien was ruled to be so by a court. The court ruling came about due to governmental determination that's supported by the filing of a plethora of documentation. Mr. Topsnick was an individual who for many years had been a resident of Germany, where he had a permanent home. As it happened in a related case, the tax court confirmed that Mr. Topsnick was a German national and a German resident. Secondly, Mr. Topsnick, being a German citizen and a resident, is not subject to the imposition of the United States source-related income tax liability by virtue of the applicability of the German tax treaty.
Did he report the income and file reports for the relevant years in Germany?
Pardon me, Your Honor?
Was there a reporting of the income for taxation purposes in Germany for the relevant years?
He filed a tax return. The government took the position that that was not the type of return that he ought to have filed, but he did file a return in Germany.
Reporting this income?
He did not report this income. But I don't think that's the deciding factor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm submitting to the court.
What part of the tax treaty do you rely on for the proposition that that's not a
the tax treaty
decisive factor?
I thought the basic proposition was that Article 13, Your Honor.
Where do we have that? Oh.
Article 13 says...
This is the appendix to your brief?
Yes, Your Honor. Page 13
right,
of the
right.
appendix.
Okay. I'm at it.
derived by a resident of a contracting state from the alienation of immovable property referred to in Article 6, income from immovable real property and situated in the other contracting state may be taxed in that other state. For the purpose of this article, the term immovable property situated in the other contracting shall include immovable property referred to in Article 6, income from removal of property, real property. Gains from the alienation of immovable property or in part of the business property of a permanent establishment that an enterprise of a contracting state has in the other contracting state or of immovable property pertaining to fixed space available to a resident of a contracting state in the other contracting state for purpose of performing independent personal services, including alienation. Gains from the alienation
So why don't you take us through that in terms of what's resident and what's the other state and the other contracting state to see how it applies to your client.
Pardon me, Your Honor.
Could you take us through that opening paragraph identifying how you read resident, and then when we come to situated in the other contracting state and then taxed in the other state, how does all that work out? So he's you're saying your client is a resident of Germany.
Correct, Your Honor.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Okay. And so let's say if he is a resident of Germany in terms of the tax treaty, then income from the alienation of immovable property situated in the other contracting state, that's the U.S., may be taxed in that other state. Is that right?
May be taxed in the state of residency.
I'm sorry, so that the other state is the state of residency?
Yes.
And his return did not reflect the gain, right? Suggesting that he did not think of himself as a resident of Germany in the meaning of that clause.
In Germany did not.
Right. So I'm at a loss to see how this helps you.
I think I have to admit that what he filed in Germany may have been an incorrect return, but that does not mean he did not file a return. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
No, it does reflect on what state he viewed himself as a citizen of.
Well, he had a return prepared and filed in Germany. I don't know what went on between Mr. Topsnick and his tax preparer in Germany. I'm not a German tax attorney, but he did file a return, and he was there, and he claimed that he was he's always claimed that he was a resident of Germany.
Right. I guess the point is, based on the return that he did file, which, yes, he filed a return, but he didn't file a return that reported this income as taxable in Germany. If you take that return at face value, then his stance would have been that the gains from this aren't taxable in either country.
Well, I submit, Your Honor, that
it might have been a mistake.
That is a deciding factor.
I'm sorry?
What he filed in Germany is not a deciding factor. I mean, he could have been.
Because, in your view, it was mistaken.
Examination, just like he did file a non-resident alien return in this country.
You agree that if he was a resident of the United States, an alien resident,
yes, Your Honor,
that the income that's in question should have been reported.
Well,
on his U.S. tax.
If he was a U.S. resident.
Right.
Yes, indeed, Your Honor.
Okay, so what do you do with Section 7701B1, capital A, small I, on page 73 to 74 of the addendum in the government's
report. Yes. Well, Your Honor, I have attached that publication 519 to the brief, and that 7701 speaks to the green card or substantial presence in the United States. And while those two standards may be used for treating him as a United States resident, he in fact was not the United States resident. Moreover,
he was lawfully admitted as a permanent resident during the tax years in question.
He had a green card, Your Honor. He was allowed,
the answer is yes.
Yes. Yes. He was allowed to come in. But as pointed out by 519, in that schematic on page five of the publication 519, the footnote 2 says that despite having a green card, a tax treaty may apply. And moreover, on page 8 of the form,
I think everyone agrees that the tax treaty
applies. Publication 519, it says that the rules given here to determine if you are a U.S. resident do not override tax treaty definition of residency, which is consistent with that footnote that appears in the schematic.
I think then we're back to the question, what is it in the treaty that you rely on for making him not a resident of the U.S.?
Well, then we go back to the treaty, and we go to Article 4. Which appears at page 12 of the
Okay. And
where is that?
It's on page 12, Your Honor, of the
Appendix to your brief?
Appendix.
Yeah. And
Article 4, residence.
So again, take us through how this works to turn Mr. Topsnick into a resident of Germany. I'm just not seeing words that help you.
It says, for the purpose of the convention, the term resident of a contracting state means any person who under the laws of that state is liable to tax therein by reason of his domicile, residence, place of management, place of incorporation, or any other criterion of similar nature.
Okay, to stop there. For those first three lines, they don't help you, right? Am I right on that?
Well, I think then you have to go continue on.
Okay, sure. No, but I just want to make sure that I haven't missed something on those first three lines.
And then it goes down to paragraph 2, that an individual is a resident, an individual is a resident of both contracting states, his status shall be determined by if he has a permanent home available to him. He shall be a resident of the state which his personal and economic relations are closer.
Well, I'm sorry, but by paragraph section 2 comes in after we've decided that he's a resident of both. So we have to get there first.
So even if he is a resident of both?
Well, no. I think that may be the beginning of your problem. Is he a resident of both?
Well, he's not.
Within the meaning of the treaty.
But he's not.
Okay.
Well, they are, though the government
I'm back to the question, what is it that takes him out of residence in the United States?
And they argued he's a resident of the United States because of the applicability of the substantiation test and the green card. But as we spoke earlier, 519 says that the green card and the substantial presence test does not apply where a treaty applies. So even if he were looked upon as a resident of both, it's where he has a home that is the deciding factor. But then it goes on further, and there's a tiebreaker that even if all of the factors are the same for both, that's the country in which he is a national. That's a deciding factor. And Mr. Topsnick was a national-born resident of Germany, citizen of Germany.
Okay. Thank you. We'll hear from the government.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Anthony Sheehan. I represent the Commissioner of Internal Revenue. We've been talking this morning about Publication 519. It is our position the tax court applied the correct set of tests in determining that Mr. Topsnick, for purposes of taxation on his Gourmet Foods income, was a resident of the United States and not a resident of Germany. The first question would be whether Mr. Topsnick was taxable by the United States on this income. The answer to that is yes. He had a green card. He was a lawful permanent resident of the United States. He passed that independent test under Section 7701. The three tests for residents are independent. And he maintained this green card throughout the entire time at issue, did not surrender it until afterwards the next year in 2010. The next question to be asked is whether Mr. Topsnick was a resident of Germany. That's where the treaty comes in, to determine whether he was a resident of Germany. As part of this, the Internal Revenue Service, through the competent authority, made inquiries, official inquiries of the German government, and received a response from the German government that he was registered in Germany as a limited liability taxpayer, taxable only on his German source income, that at the time of the response, he had not yet even filed the returns for that status. They had no record of filing a return at the time the German government made his response. Apparently, he filed a return later but did not report this income, and that the German government did not consider Mr. Topsnick taxable on the Gourmet Foods income. At that point, he was a resident of the United States for tax purposes of this income. He was not a resident of Germany. The tiebreaker rules do not come into play, and the case would end right there. I'd like to make a brief comment about Article 13. Article 13 deals with immovable real property. The parties in this case agreed that this was a sale of stock, and it's intangible property. Taxable based on the country of residence, which I just covered. But if we were to consider this to be real property, and if we were to consider arguendo, Mr. Topsnick to be a resident of Germany, this was a California corporation. This property would have been situated in the United States. So even if if we're going under Article 13, and even if Mr. Topsnick were a German resident, and again, we maintain he's not, since it's the property situated in the United States, it would be taxable by the United States. Other than that, that pretty much covers the case. And if there are no questions, the government's willing to rest on its brief.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Did Mr. Magnuson have any time left? Well, why don't we give you 1 minute, just if you have anything to add?
The district court made a determination that Mr. Topsnick was undisputed that Mr. Topsnick was a resident
of the United States, I mean of Germany.
In 2011.
What?
In 2011.
Yeah.
Well, Your Honor, the court said undisputed, and it based its ruling upon a motion to dismiss that contained over 100 pages of documents. Those documents went back to the years 1994. And
yeah, but there was a pivotal thing that happened in 2000.
Pardon me, Your Honor?
There was a pivotal thing that happened in 2010, the extinction of his green card rights.
Well, no, we're talking about residency. Residency was based on a total set of circumstances. You can't look at, you know, it's like more in talking about relevancy. When you're dealing with a wall, a brick wall, you just can't look at one brick. You have to look all of the bricks in their entirety to determine whether there is a wall.
Section 7701B6.
Pardon me, Your Honor?
Is the brick. Section 7701B6 is the brick that we look at.
Well, I disagree, Your Honor.
Because, it defines what residency is.
No, Your Honor. The publication 519 explains that 7701 does not apply where the treaty is involved. And the treaty does not deal with...
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted.